Yes, Ken Stowe here.
Yes, I can hear you, Ben.
Peace be unto you.
Thank you.
And all those who shall listen to the voice of the Spirit. May the peace that passeth all understanding, all materialize. Desire only that those who shall hear the voice of the Spirit, that they shall take unto themselves these things of which we speak, and that they may be so directed in their lives that they shall be changed according to the Spirit of the Word. As I draw near unto the earth, even more than in the past months, do I feel greater is the need of the Spirit.
Yes.
And indeed, as I draw near unto the earth, I take unto myself many of the burdens of the material. And I reaffirm that the power of the Spirit, and that alone, shall release those who walk the path of the material, that they shall in due course, if they take unto themselves these truths of which we speak, that they shall see that light whichever we are trying to give to your world, that it shall lead them out of the darkness. And I take unto myself, as indeed do many of those who come like unto myself into your world of flesh, we take unto ourselves many of your thoughts, many of your desirings, many of your problems and confusions, and in our own fashion endeavor to help you to clarify and to open up the vision that will bring you that peace which has so long eluded the men of the earth.
I try to keep peaceful inside.
Yes, child, this I know. But we are ever conscious, even more so, as I've already said, of the manifold confusions and problems of your world today. If you could see your world as we see it, it is as if you are surrounded by a fog. And this fog of mental condition created by man in his foolishness and ignorance makes it even more than ever difficult to pierce.
Yes, I understand.
There is so much intolerance, so much in your world that causes great concern to us. And we, as we enter into your environment, find it extremely difficult sometimes to be able to change the minds and hearts and desirings of peoples. Here and there we're able to reach out to some soul such as yourself, whose aspirations are the highest and whose desires are those purely of a spiritual nature, and we're able to some extent through you and such as you influence, but even so we cannot change any human being unless they themselves show the desire for a change. Oftentimes it has been said that those of us in the spirit world, as you term it, should be able to, by our power, change many peoples in your world. And though we may here and there succeed, we cannot force ourselves upon anyone. We cannot make them do anything that they are loath to do if they are determined to take a path. Whatever that path may be, we can force them to change the route that they have undertaken. But if they show a desire for wisdom, if they show a desire for the realization of truth, If they show a desire for goodness in their hearts and well-being, then we can reach them, and then we can help them and uplift them. But there is so much in your world today that we would wish to change, but can do so little because the individuals concerned do not desire it.
Very disheartening for you.
Where seeds are sown, there by in the time that is yet to be, fruit may come forth that is good. But so much of the work of the Spirit falls on the stony ground. Even those who listen to my voice through the agency of your recording, as you term it, many perhaps are interested, some are moved, some are anxious to take it unto themselves, but very few are they who really understand, really accept fully, really do they see behind all that we are endeavoring to do the real purpose. There are many in the spiritualist movement, as you term it, who are sincere, and yet they do not themselves make any great effort to do the work of the Spirit. I do not necessarily mean that they should become instruments or mediums as such, but they could serve.
Yes. Yes, I understand.
I look back over the many years that we have associated together, and I realize that here and there we have been enabled to serve and to comfort and to help and to uplift and inspire. And this, for this, we are eternally grateful, and especially are we grateful to you as the instrument through whom we serve. But as I've oftentimes said in the past, as each year draws to its close and the new one is, as you term it, about to commence, though all time is one, nevertheless it is a time when those on earth, such as yourself, look back and assess to some extent the year that is going and look forward with the hope of promise in your heart of the year that is about to descend and come upon you. But there must be times for you and for others like unto you, and we in particular, when we feel that perhaps we have not done very much. We have done as best we could under difficult circumstances and conditions, and it is not easy, we know this, for our instruments who have to, as you do, travel, go to place, sometimes under stress with the travelling that is involved.
Yes,
and also the atmospheric condition, which sometimes is decidedly unpleasant, and the expense that can be involved also. Many things do we think about. We take into consideration all the efforts that are made. And although perhaps we do not always achieve as much as we would desire, we are conscious of the fact that here and there an individual has been given and a change of heart has taken place, and we are grateful. But of course we see oftentimes and envisage the whole world, and we see it as a sick and unhappy place, where there is so much malice and intolerance and hatred, where barriers have been built up through foolishness and ignorance and stupidity, of national pride and spirit, which oftentimes creates unhappiness brought about over a period of perhaps sometimes many years, which brings in its wake civil war, strife, and many innocent people are involved and caught up, and oftentimes are sent here before they've had time in your world to evolve or develop and learn and experience. For we do see your world as a training ground, as a schoolroom of lessons which must be learned. We see your world as a vast schoolroom of experience. There are not many teachers, unfortunately, There are many teachers who teach, but not necessarily that which is true. And many are misled, many are misguided, many are unsure and uncertain of that which they've been taught, and they begin oftentimes to search for truth, and sometimes we can reach them and help them. But it is not always easy for many people in your world to break the chains that bind them. People's minds sometimes, in particular groups or religious organizations, are channeled in such a way that it is almost impossible to help them. I think of all the manifold complications and difficulties that we have to face, oftentimes is in trying to reach those who have been indoctrinated. Because they are so caught up with these things that they have been brought to accept as truth, taught to accept as truth, they cannot shake them off. Their shackles that bind them, their minds are closed. And many of them that come here in the process of time find extreme difficulty in being, as it were, free to think clearly and wisely. They're shackled, and they live oftentimes, thousands and thousands of them, in communities.
Yes, you told me about that. It's very sad. I was thinking about it, John, that over all the centuries of time, there's always been unrest and difficulty. But I feel that it's worse now than ever it was. I don't know whether it's me or...
Well, of course, child, I think that the obvious answer to this is that space, distance, have no longer any meaning in your world. In the times that were centuries ago, many of the troubles or the wars or the confusions were centered in small areas rather than worldwide.
Yes. Now everybody knows everything now.
With the coming of the aeroplane, with the coming of television and radio, and people are now brought together as a no other time in man's history. That which is happening 6,000 miles away can be seen on a screen in your own room. You can be partakers of events happening thousands of miles away. In other words, you are all so caught up together by the power of these inventions. And it seems to me now that man, instead of having learnt and gained from these inventions, to some extent, has been cursed by them.
Yes, that's how I feel.
You see, child, that there is never now any opportunity, or very little opportunity, for vast majorities of people to isolate themselves, or to be able even to retreat from the material world and relax mentally and spiritually. What at one time were vast acres and acres, miles and miles of natural surroundings with no pollution of the atmosphere, no pollution of the ground from which the food that is necessary to your well-being is taken. Everywhere there is pollution, pollution in every possible conceivable way. And all this must and does, of course, and will even more so affect mankind. Also, in a sense, it is true to say you're living on the edge of a precipice every day of your lives, of uncertainty of what may happen next.
Yeah.
Man is building up and has been building for many years terrifying weapons of destruction, and these things cannot be brought into being and held, as it were, for the moment in time when they might be released, without this whole atmosphere of fear and the whole atmosphere of uncertainty and the feeling of that exists between peoples and nations of distrust, mistrust. Oh, you are living in a world so changed from 100 years ago.
I didn't choose a very good time to come back, did I?
It was not a matter of choosing, it was a matter of being brought into your world at a time when perhaps it would be true to say it was the best time of all, inasmuch that we need individuals such as yourself who will be prepared to give themselves in love and service at a time When man needs truth, needs enlightenment, needs inspiration of the spirit.
He doesn't
want
to listen.
Some listen, child.
Oh, good.
And we feel that for those that listen and those that partake and those that eventually learn and understand and will serve in consequence, they are light in the darkness, and they will impress and inspire others, we hope, by their experience.
Yes.
But I do not wish to completely dwell on a note of depression, but I just feel that we must remember and realize that whatever happens in your world, whatever transpires, in the eventual coming into the full realization, as all men must, of the Spirit, that all will be well. We do not want, obviously, we do not want destruction in your world, we do not want unhappiness in your world, we do not want ill health in your world and disease, we do not want all the manifold complexities of your lives to continue as they are, but we can only strive to assist and to help as best we can and best we may, but we have hope in our hearts that man, before it is too late, will see the error within himself, individually and collectively. Of course, I suppose our main fear at the moment is the national and international field of activity. Things which are happening behind the scenes, behind closed walls, of which the ordinary man in the street knows nothing, which is deliberately kept from him. Man walks around, as it seems to us, invariably with his eyes blindfolded. He does not know many of the things that we know, that we have gathered, that we have learnt, for there are no walls that can keep us out. We are conscious of many things of which the ordinary person knows nothing, which are only known to the few who hold the power and the ones who hold, you might say, the world in the palm of their hand. Fortunately, we feel that much may yet be averted. Much may yet be done that will ease the situation which is arising even more acutely in the world, politically, politics and religion. Strange though it may seem for me of all people to say this, are in many respects the curse of the world. You have to look at this present moment to Ireland. There you see Catholics murdering Protestants and Protestants murdering Catholics. It is because they have not understood, they have not been taught aright the things that Jesus spake. Jesus gave forth great wisdom, great enlightenment, great spiritual consciousness. He tried to demonstrate in every possible conceivable way during his lifetime the reality of these things of which we speak. But man has swamped the truth with creed and dogma and ritual, claiming that his particular brand of religion is the only one, and all the rest are false. We see the evils that have come into your world through ignorance in the teachings of religious persuasion. I do not wish you to think, or anyone to think, that I am in any shape or form or way anti religious, or in any way am I particularly concerned with an individual's personal aspect or approach. There are many good souls in all religions, all organized religions, and many outside with no religion whatsoever. But the point is that we have to face the obvious fact that many of the ills of your world can be traced to the stupidity and the foolishness of people of a religious persuasion who are under the assumption that their particular religious body or group or organization, call it what you will, is the only one that is right. Where there are many faults in all religions, but these are man-made faults. These are man-made interpretations, built often over centuries of time by material aspect of thought in regard to the fundamental truths that underlie all religions. If one could remove all these things and return to the beauty and the simplicity and the truthfulness of the things taught by the great seers and prophets of old, who all taught exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Christ came, it was as a revelation to the world in his age, in his time, and he demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit. But many others also have done the same, have done likewise. People have this misconception that their particular brand, if you like, of religion is the only one. Man must learn through the simplicity and the beauty and the loveliness of Jesus and others like unto him, that they have within themselves the power to save themselves, that they have within themselves the power to overcome and to become, in consequence, spiritually attuned. Christ himself knew of these truths and demonstrated them. And greater things than these, he said, thou shalt do, for I go unto my Father. But no man since has achieved anything like that which he achieved, because they have not followed the true path. They have not seen that light in the clarity that it was given. They have not learned from these things that were taught by him 2,000 years ago. They have not seen in the simplicity and in the beauty of his life and his teaching, the reality that he gave to the world. He was not only just referring to the world of the Spirit, he was also referring in many instances to the world of the so-called flesh. Like the coin, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's, so these things must be rendered. If man could live in harmony and in tranquility, if he could have balance in his life so that he could truly render unto God the things that are God's and the things that are the material, for what they are worth, render them in the right sense. In other words, there is no reason why the two worlds, the material and the spiritual, should not be interwoven and bound together. They are indeed truly part of each other.
Yes.
If only people could see this, and make the power behind all our thoughts and actions of a spiritual nature, utilizing their material forces, their material abilities, their material opportunities in a more spiritual sense, that they could see the path as it was intended. The tragedy of your world is that the vast numbers of human beings have not grasped the meaning, the realization of these things taught by all the great seers and prophets of old, but they have become caught up, and become caught up indeed with all sorts of side issues that have no bearing, no meaning, caught up with narrow conceptions, material aspects of thought, all tied and brought about by the stupidness of individuals of past centuries who were far removed from the true spiritual awareness of the Christ, but who saw opportunity for power and aggrandizement that they could build in a material sense from those who followed like sheep, blindly led. If only we could make changes, if only we could make people see. Do you not realize, as we do, and I'm sure you do, that many of the young peoples of your world are disillusioned and dissatisfied? They are restless, they are no longer following blindly. Those who once led them no longer have the same power, and those that do seem to have the power in high places. They rule not by love, but by fear. And it is this tragedy that nevertheless many of the young are discarding the outworn creeds and the dogmas of orthodoxy. They're throwing away from themselves the chains that bound their forebears. We should see the possibility in the young. We know there are those who distress one, that there are those who do foolish things. But many of them are sincerely seeking. They know not quite what they're seeking, it is true. But they are no longer hide-bound and creed-bound. They are breaking the chains, and it is into the young that we look, and it is into the young. Orthodoxy. Did he not storm into the temples? Did he not turn out the moneylenders and the changers? And yet in your churches and your temples throughout the world, there are the money changers. There are those who amass great wealth and fortunes. There are those who use the truths of the Christ for material gain and aggrandizement. These are not the things of the Spirit. These are the things of man. These are the things of the earth. Whether it be in the Vatican or whether it be in some other place, the stocks and the shares and the investments in the city, all done in the name of the Christ, all owning and building up more and more property and values, all material, these are not the things that Jesus spake. These are not the things that Jesus wanted. Jesus said, go ye forth into the highways and the byways, preach my gospel to every creature. These are the things of the Spirit. As you go forth from the darkness of your world, bringing a little illumination here and there, truly these are the things that Jesus desired. Go forth again in the months that lie ahead, child, and know that I and others shall be with you always.
Bless you, dear.
I wish you all peace, all tranquility of the Spirit, with all love in your hearts, that you might truly serve your brothers and sisters, that they may be blessed, as I know indeed they shall be, by the light and the illumination of the Spirit, to be given new strength, new understanding, new power to manifest in the material world in which you now dwell, that it shall in some measure be changed for you, and being changed for you shall enable others also to be changed. They too shall come into the brightness and the beauty and the harmony of the spheres. My blessing, my child, go forth with good hearts. Peace be unto you.
God bless you, dear. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Nicky.